Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Well, hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's going on?
Happy New Year.
How we doing? Happy New Year to you. Yeah. And you all out there listening.
See, you started off the New Year with some sort of weird clandestine shredding operation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came in and Buck goes,
"Don't ask.
Rob's doing the most old man thing ever." And I was like, "Well, that's Ropp." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "He's in there shredding documents." And yeah. I was like, "Way to start the new year off right."
Copy room, shredding documents in the dark.
Well, shredding documents yesterday at the house.
Way to go, Roy.
And then my shredder broke because those things are pieces of crap.
Yeah.
And so I had to throw it away. And I thought, you know, I wonder if work has one for my final bits of shredding documents, of which I cannot tell you the contents.
No.
And sure enough, we had a shredder in there. So I went, a heavy duty one too. So it made life a lot easier.
Yeah, we should have seen the stack he brought in. It was impressive.
It was
big.
It was an impressive stack.
Probably like that.
Yeah. What's we heard like, it in there.
8 inches, 6 inches.
That's what she said. I just burn. I used to have a paper shredder, but I'm with you. They always clog and then eventually they just break. So I just do the, I just burn.
Yeah. I thought about that, but I don't really have anywhere to burn it.
Oh. Yeah.
And then,
well, we have the outdoor fire pit and we have the fireplace. And my kids, my daughter is kind of a pyro. So anytime I have something to burn, she gets all excited. And I'm like, here you go. And let's get a little something going.
Yeah,
and,
burning's good.
Voila.
But yeah, so no evidence. It's gone. You guys had your chance.
As far as you know.
You could have come in there and tackled me and looked at the documents, but you didn't.
Paper trail gone.
Now, do we ever, is there any truth to the, like, you see it in movies where someone pieces the shreddings back together. Can you do that?
I mean.
Anybody? Yeah, that was like a very Homeland thing, you know?
Right? There's always, like, you always see those movies.
They get, like, bags and bags, and there's people sitting in dark offices overnight. Yeah, I don't.
And they piece them back.
I guess if you had enough time and manpower, maybe, but probably not.
I don't think so.
I'm not familiar with it. But, you know, because that's always there's always the late night shredding, and then someone's like, I'll get them. I don't think anyone's, you know, going through your shreddings, but...
Why not?
Ropp left the puzzle pieces behind.
Yeah.
You might want to try.
Codes out there to be cracked.
And I'm being dead serious here. If I had documents that were really sensitive to the point where, like, I'm going to federal prison or God forbid, like, some sort of murder conviction, like, some sort of... I would not shred. To me, the shredding does seem to indicate that you are leaving behind some semblance. Why not just... Again, I'm going with the burn. You ain't coming back from that. You give an old-fashioned burn in there. You're not piecing that back together with
some
ashes.
No, the ashes don't make the words. No, that's not going to happen.
No. So I may be completely out of bounds here, but I feel like I trust the burn more than I trust the shred. And then, of course, sometimes I do I'll just rip this in half 3 or 4 times because no one could ever piece that back together. Like, you see, like, the credit card offers or whatever. I don't burn those or whatever. I just rip them a couple times, and it's like, eh. If you want to go through the trouble of piecing that together, you got me. I'm all right.
Well, I hope everyone had a nice holiday.
Had a great holiday.
Holiday is over.
Yeah.
So get back to work.
Back to the real world.
I see we do have some people in the office. Over hit.
Yeah, the over did hit. I want to say there's probably 5.
At least.
Yeah. I think the over sailed. I mean,
sailed over.
It cleared easy.
Well, this was yesterday we were saying. Does anybody, because with... Christmas and the New Year on a Wednesday.
It's a strange time.
We were like, does anybody work for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It was an easy mail-it in slot, but they're not mailing it in today.
So we thought, what, 3.5 was the over-under?
Yeah, 3.5.
People in the office besides us today. Yeah. And it's well over. So things are looking up for Odyssey.
It's 5 to 6, and that's without a boss.
And we only have 5 to 6.
Now,
an Odyssey station.
The pseudo de facto boss is not in.
Where's he?
I don't know. I think when you're the pseudo de facto boss, you don't have to show up.
Is he waiting to be revealed on January 6th as our new fearless leader?
Yeah.
He'll come in with dyed beard.
Scooby-Doo-esque sort of thing.
New suits.
Wouldn't it be great if he came in like and it was like an all-new power play? He came in a three-piece suit. And he's got a beard. Came in like ready to go. Let's do this.
Well, it's time to party.
Is it?
Actually, it's not.
No.
We can wait till next Seggy if you want.
Well, I mean,
watching Georgia and Notre Dame play.
Yeah, that's not.
I like
really
a good old fashioned slobber knocker.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's from what time you got to here.
Yeah.
The problem is
a rock fight.
Yeah. I like it.
No one can run the ball. No. Like, and no one can throw the ball, so no one's really doing much of anything. So,
well, except for that kid on the sideline getting run into by the ref. That was great.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I like that
poor kid.
Notre Dame's got a walk on. Ooh, here we go. Little Notre Dame kickoff return to the house.
I think this game's over.
This is game right here.
Notre
How
Dame,
about that? My Fighting Irish.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was 13-3 at the half, and Notre Dame just took the kick back. And if you've seen Georgia play offense, I hate to tell you, but that may be the bulldog in the ground. And they just showed a gal in like the Legion of Doom shoulder pads. Whoops. You know, and that's the thing is like people like Stockton or not, Georgia doesn't have a good offense. They are not built to do this. And Notre Dame's defense is nasty.
Yeah, they couldn't fall behind. But the game was kind of playing like a Georgia football game.
Yeah.
A game that they pull out. But what has happened here, it was 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right where Georgia wants it.
Yeah.
But they fumbled with like 30 seconds left in the first half in deep in their own territory. And then like Notre Dame put that in the end zone.
Yep.
And then they just ran back the opening kick of the second half. So just like that, they're in a 17-point hole.
Well,
they should be down 3.
Yeah, should be 6-3. And now if you're Georgia, you're forced at this point to just, you got to abandon the run game, which I guess wasn't working for you anyway. So I guess you got a chance to be the stuff of legend here if you're old, Gunner or whatever. And is it Gunner Stockton, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I heard him say on the radio from the mountains of North Georgia.
Is it just fitting that you get some all-American quarterback named Gunner?
There are mountains in North Georgia?
I would assume so.
Was news to me as well.
Why would you assume that?
Well, Georgia's not a flat region. There's lots of lakes and topography and whatnot.
Wait a minute.
Appalachia?
It's pretty flat when we were down there. We drove around. Of course, it's more southern, south of Atlanta there, but it was pretty flat.
Well, I mean, Tennessee, you got Appalachia and like the whole Smoky Mountains and all that. You wouldn't think that there's mountains?
Northern Georgia has mountains, huh?
Well, I would assume that that's part of the Appalachian Trail, right? Because doesn't the Appalachian Trail
Smoky Mountains or something? No, that's in Tennessee.
That's in Tennessee, but doesn't
I think you may be right here.
And what's the Alabama song where they sing, is it Blue Ridge Mountains?
Yes.
Blue Ridge Mountains, yeah, right? Isn't that Blue Ridge Mountains?
Am I
getting my southern states all mixed up?
Dude, I have no idea.
Bottom line is this. Mountains in Georgia. I would assume Appalachia, that has to be included.
Yeah, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Hey, look at that.
Well, they're part of the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And they are known for their scenic beauty and outdoor activities.
And now for quarterbacks who look kind of douchey named Gunner.
And the Appalachian Trail basically ends in North Georgia. So
boom.
There you go.
Might I offer that, is there any mountainous region that is not scenic? I mean, aren't they all, I mean, that's kind of what.
Yeah. Yeah, mountains.
Known for their scenic beauty. Well, I mean, I just feel like they all are.
It's a valid point.
Yeah, are there mountain ranges that are not known
for their
scenic
beauty? What about all those mountains like in Afghanistan, like where you see?
Just like the plain rock ones, kind of?
That doesn't really seem.
But isn't that prettier than the alternative?
Just flat Afghanistan?
Yeah.
It's a valid point. You know what? Touche. That's the same thing. Couldn't you say that about any, like, lakes? Are there ugly lakes?
You could get a gnarly lake here and there, maybe, but probably not. They're mostly scenic.
The mountains are over 1 billion years old, it says here on internet.
Good for them.
Oldest in the United States.
I like it. I like where we're going with
it. Wait. How are some mountains in the U.S. older than other mountains in the U.S.? Just like the moving of tectonic plates or something?
Are you not familiar with red hot magma?
It's not all God.
It's not all formed at the same time, Ryan Buckley.
Big Bang? No?
Buckley. By the way, Buckley
is over.
Did you
just say the Big Bang? You think the Big Bang?
It all happened at once.
The Big Bang created mountains?
Yeah, all of it.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think that's the way that works.
I know it's not.
Ryan Buckley, how was your last 48 hours?
It was something.
God, I didn't expect to see you today.
Yeah, I was always planning on being in today. Got a couple administrative wires crossed, but here I am.
Administrative wires.
Well, not I thought I was going to be in. Our boss did not.
An Odyssey station.
Another host or producer thought they were in. So we got that all sorted out, though. Here I am.
So you went to the, you got on a plane yesterday morning.
I did.
Got to the Rose Bowl on time.
Not without mishap, though.
What happened?
Maybe the dumbest thing I've ever done traveling. So bad, I almost thought about withholding this today, but the show needs the fodder. Yeah, so
share.
What'd you do?
I show up at the airport. It's about 6:30. My flight is boarding at 6:50.
Oh, dear.
And, I'm through security at this point, and it says I'm at gate C11, so I wander on over there, and it says it's going to Seattle, and I'm like, well, that's not right. So then I go to the board to find out, well, which, they must have changed my gate, which one's going to Burbank, and I look, and there's two flights to Burbank, and neither is the time on my boarding pass, and I was like, well, this seems like a problem, and I went over to a gate agent, and she goes, oh, well, that's because your flight doesn't leave till 7:30 p.m.
Oh.
And I went, oh, my what?
God. Boy.
Booked it a couple weeks ago, never once registered that it was, I had it off by 12 hours.
Oh, my God. Oh my.
And I'm like, I'm not going to go to the Rose Bowl today.
No.
Well, then what? Do you go to, you don't go down there. You just cancel it.
No, so I was like,
you eat it.
I'm wearing a Ducks t-shirt and like my face at the gate just like dropped and she goes, don't go anywhere. We need to get you to this game. And so she starts clicking away at her keyboard.
Oh, wow.
And Shondell, I think is her name. Fantastic gate agent for Alaska.
Alaska, okay.
Yeah. And she basically found me a flight that got into Ontario the exact same time that I thought I would be landing at Burbank.
Wow. How did she do that?
I have no idea. She asked me what airports and times would work for me. And I said, anything in the LA area by kickoff. She had an option to LAX and she had an option to Ontario. I happened to have friends flying into Ontario. I landed at the same time as them.
Oh,
hopped in an Uber and went right over to Pasadena.
Once again, Buckley's white privilege just overfloweth. He's just booking AM, PM, and he doesn't care.
Yep.
Someone will take care of him.
My wife is surprised I made it home today.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah. I've never done that.
I haven't either.
Things just worked out for you.
Yeah. They sure did.
That's good. That's the power of positive thinking.
Until the game, that is. Then things didn't work out as well.
Yeah, they didn't work
out. It could also be the Lord, you know, looking out for you.
That's right.
Yeah, is that one of those? You know, the Lord made you.
I actually mentioned that to my wife.
The wrong flight so then he could save you with the appropriate flight?
I said, someone's looking out for me, but I don't know if God cares how much I see the Rose Bowl. But nice if he does.
No, he cares.
But you made it. And then I assume you got raging drunk because there was nothing good for you as a Duck fan in that game.
As I told Danny on his way out, the weather was great. Yeah. The stealth bomber was really cool.
Yeah.
And that's those are about the highlights.
That was about it. There was a brief moment in the second half where you kind of were like,
signs of life.
And then, not really. Then they took you out back and shot you. And, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it was rough.
For a brief moment, I was sitting on the couch being like, maybe, no.
Well, this is one of those that if Buck spent a bunch of money on this, which he didn't, but if he did, this would be one of those that's like, well, was that worth it? This is what we were talking about yesterday, or Tuesday.
Yeah, the financial gut punch along with the emotional gut punch.
You spend all this money to go watch your team get absolutely mauled. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, was that worth it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the loss, you can handle the loss because you knew that game was going to be two of the best, if not the two best teams in the country. And you picked Ohio State in it. You liked them. I thought Gabriel would be the difference. I thought it'd be a nail biter. I don't think it's necessarily the loss. I just think it's the mauling. It's one thing to lose. Like Georgia right now, this could go sideways. It's 20-3. And at least Georgia has the whole backup quarterback thing. Maybe they can lean on that. But I do think there's a difference between the way like Arizona State feels today, maybe Boise feels today, and the way Oregon feels.
Well,
You know, there's
changes everything.
It does change everything.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we should probably talk about it.
I wish we had a show.
I think we do.
To dedicate to it.
Yeah, we probably do.
We do.
Yeah.
Well, let's start there.
Yeah, RJ says he's in for some therapy.
Yeah, he's a big Duck guy.
He's a big Duck guy.
They went to the Michigan game this year, he and his buds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out there.
It's a little, it's rough.
Duck fans canceling their trips to Atlanta right and left.
Well, hopefully you got refundable tickets on that one.
Well, you have to.
It's pretty ballsy if you're buying that thing and are like, nope, not buying the protection plan.
Not only am I getting a guaranteed trip to Atlanta, I'm getting a tattoo before the tournament even starts.
Yeah. It didn't work out well.
That is the subject of today's poll question. Yeah. So let's start there next on The Fan. Well, I have some positive uplifting sports news for all of you right now.
You need something.
Here on The Fan.
If you're a Duck fan, at least.
And that is that while I have... I'm teetering
mm-hmm.
on turning off Notre Dame, Georgia. It's 20-3.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm teetering. I haven't
and
quite
Georgia
turned it off
yet. Georgia has done nothing offensively.
I haven't turned it off yet, but I'm teetering. If I were to turn it off,
mm-hmm.
do you know what the best news in the whole world is?
I do not.
That I'm going to tell you? Sports news?
What do you got?
The golf season has begun.
The century, baby.
The century is on. The PGA Tour is back. Round one is underway. They're in Hawaii. Yeah. They're at Plantation. So I think it's only just now starting on TV.
Is there like women's lacrosse on that I can watch instead?
No, what, get out of here with that.
What can I tune in?
Tom Hoagie with the early lead, guys.
9 under.
Hot Tom Hoagie talk.
Tom Hoagie.
Let's go. Let's get into it. Let's get into the deets.
Hey, I got some bets out.
So did I.
All right.
Well, that was refreshing.
Well, we needed that because we have to get into the Ducks game.
That's bad.
All right, here's our poll question. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. And today we were asking you what most contributed to Oregon's Rose Bowl loss. Is it the layoff?
Yeah. That's the big convenient one now, especially if Georgia loses here.
Well, they're losing.
Yeah, I'm saying if they lose
all
the
of the bye teams.
Yeah, we'll now start the no one wants a bye. Bye is the worst thing ever. Layoff.
And... Well, I would say all of the bye teams, like Arizona State fell down double digits. Mm-hmm. Oregon fell down double digits. Boise State fell down double digits. Yeah. And now Georgia fell down double digits. I mean, there might be something to 24 days
off. Is it possible, too, that Arizona State and Boise State, by the way, are nowhere near as good, even though they put up great performances in that game?
All things can be true.
Ohio State arguably is the best team in the country, and some people thought that going in. And Georgia's offense just isn't very good, and they're playing with a backup quarterback. So cause and relation are, this is what we do in college football.
Look at you with cause and relation.
Well,
come on, the layoff, certainly, I think it matters.
Well, these dumbasses that are out there now saying that they would rather play an extra game than get, I mean, it's just, it's absurd. This, the level of, so right now, so basically what you're saying is if you're the Kansas City Chiefs or the Lions and Vikings, right?
Shouldn't want the one seed.
They shouldn't want the one seed because you're going to have to get a layoff. Get
out. But 1 week off is different than 3 weeks off.
Well, I was going to say, 24 days is a long time. And the difference in the NFL and college is that in college, the Ducks got the one seed and were handed the best team in the whole tournament.
Well, and again,
you don't get that in the NFL.
Actually, you do, because quite frankly, there will be a 13 or a 14 win team in Minnesota or Detroit that's going to go on the road and play what a 9 or a 10 win Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. So can we just, for once, can we grow up and not make excuses? If you're going to win a Super Bowl, if you're going to win a national championship, you're going to have to go through somebody.
Yeah, I think you're taking it a little too far. That was only the first answer on the poll question. I don't know that anybody's making excuses, but I think when you look at the four teams that got byes, you got to have a conversation about the layoff being a factor. No one's making excuses that that's why they lost.
Actually, they are.
Well, maybe, but that's dumb. It's just that it is a thing.
Yeah.
So what most contributed to Oregon's Rose Bowl loss? The layoff, defense, offensive line, or just a bad draw?
Yeah.
Vote and vote hard. Right now, defense leading the way.
Yeah, and we knew.
At 48%, the layoff, 30%. Just a bad draw, 14%, and the offensive line, which gave up 8 sacks.
Yeah.
That's where I would go, 8%. Is the offensive line.
Well, I'd go defense, but...
It was defense.
Offensive line, 8%.
If the offense could have sustained anything, your defense could maybe turn in a 31-point performance instead of a 41-point performance, and then you have a closer game like you did in
Ohio
State
took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Look, the thing was, you're not coming back from 34-0. You're just not.
And that's why I said, like, it was over.
It was over. I mean, I guess you could, if you want to point out something, they didn't quit, showed some good heart, and they got some stuff going once the game was over. So, I mean, give them credit for that. But... you know, at the end of the day, we talked about this. We had, 2 weeks we were talking about this game, actually much more, but when we were together. And the one thing that you said about Oregon that scared you, if you were going to nitpick the number one, Georgia's making it a game, by the way. Touchdown Georgia, 2010. If you were going to point out one thing about Oregon that kind of worried you, it's the fact that you had played three teams that were good offensively, three playoff teams, right? You played Boise, you played Penn State, and you played Ohio State, and they all scored 30 plus points against you and actually made it look pretty easy. And so that was the fear going in, is your defense really wasn't as good as advertised. It's a good defense. It's not a great defense. And
well, yeah. They gave up 41.
And you gave up 41. And you finally saw, and this is what, I think I tweeted this out towards the end of the second half. We've been told all year that when they get it together, this Ohio State team has a chance to be one of the best Ohio State teams of all time. And like, you could see glimpses of it, but it never really came to fruition. You know, it was always just kind of, it was a work in progress, and you didn't really buy Will Howard all the time. And the offensive line had been hurt and kind of banged around a little bit. And at times the offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, didn't have faith in their quarterback, and it just never really got there. And then you saw the Tennessee game and you were like, interesting. Tennessee's really good defensively. It's like, is this the version of it that everyone's been talking about? And we know they made a bunch of defensive adjustments over the last, 7 weeks since they played Oregon, and they kept saying, hey, I'm telling you, I think we're getting it together at the right time. And you saw the fully operational Death Star. You saw the team that everyone talked about, including Urban Meyer at the beginning, that said, hey, no dog in this fight. This has a chance to be one of the best Ohio State teams over the last 30 years. And you saw it come to full capabilities. And when that happened and you didn't play very good and you had some guys chipped up, and if you want to throw the layoff in there or whatever, if you want to throw that out there, and the way it just snowballed on you, just wasn't your day.
Well, it was just the way that whole thing shaped up was bad.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And it was bad for so many different reasons.
Yeah.
To me, I would probably just vote that it was a bad draw.
Yeah.
I think that might've been the title game right there.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I know that some people may scoff at that because of how badly Oregon got beat. But, dude, Dan Lanning usually is like, well, we got to work on this. We got so much to work on. We got to get better. He didn't say any of that.
No, like,
he said, dude, that team is legit. They're playing with their hair on fire. They're playing their best at the right time. Tip of the cap. I thought he was really classy.
Ran into a buzzsaw.
You did. And I think that, and it sucks that you had to get them in the first round. That makes it look worse than it is. But I honestly think, I really believe, even though the defense isn't quite as good as we thought it was at Oregon, that's pretty clear at this point, I still believe they could have made the finals of that tournament.
Agreed.
But I do not believe they were ever going to beat Ohio State again. I think the thing about Ohio State that gave us all pause was that it looked like there was trouble in paradise.
Yeah.
You know, we knew they were the most talented team.
Yeah.
It's just that, they kind of, who else did they lose to before?
Michigan.
Yeah, so they lost to Oregon, and then, so they didn't have another loss. That's right. I was thinking they had another loss.
They did. They lost to Oregon, and then later
Michigan. I'm saying other than Oregon, I thought they had another loss. They didn't. They lost that game to Michigan, and that's when we all looked at this, and especially, sort of how Ryan Day reacted to the flag planting thing.
Yep.
It looked weird, and then all of a sudden there was some scuddy that he might get fired, and how does that even happen? And it looked like trouble in paradise, to the point where you really didn't have to worry about them. They were self-destructing.
Yeah.
Well, once you saw the Tennessee game, you went, okay, that's not happening.
No.
So then, not only did they have the revenge factor, like they were licking their chops to play this team again, but two, they now have momentum. And three, I do think it matters that you had 24 days without lacing them up. Yeah. And I just think the confluence of all of those things. Plus, that's probably the best. No, it's not probably. It is the best team in the tournament.
Yep.
All of those things came together and made this just look like a bad set of circumstances.
Yep.
And it played out that way.
Yep.
So we'll talk a lot about it today. And you're going to hear all kinds of things. I've already been reading the text line about Tosh Lapoy and different things. I just don't think anything should change. Look, you were damn good. You were undefeated. You weren't quite good enough. I think the solace may be that the way they beat your ass, you probably weren't winning that tournament, right? Don't you think?
I would agree.
I don't think you're winning that tournament.
Unless someone clipped Ohio State or something happened to Ohio State.
Right.
If that's the version of Ohio State that everyone had been hinting at, if that really is what this has become,
why would it not be? They've done it 2 weeks in a row.
Exactly. No one is, if they play like that, no one is beating them. I think but I will go to my grave saying that if you gave me Oregon versus everything else I've seen in this tournament, I really like Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame was my sleeper coming out of that side, and they may end up doing this. I think Oregon could beat any other team in this tournament, including Texas, including Georgia, including Notre Dame. I thought they could beat Ohio State. Turns out, no, you can't.
Here's the hard part.
And it's going to look bad because you got bounced in the first round, and I don't think that's indicative of where you land in the hierarchy of this season.
I agree with that, but at the same time, you've given up almost 150 points to the four good offenses that you've played.
Yes. Well, the all same four, offense twice.
But. Right, but they're all in the tournament, right? Two Ohio State, one Boise State, and one Penn State.
You've been cooked
you
four
gave
times.
Up 150 points.
Yeah.
Your defense was not good enough.
No.
The comparisons to the Lions, it's a great comparison because I don't think anybody thinks the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl with all the injuries that they have.
Yes.
And their offense is amazing, but they just, now, the Lions, it's more injury. The Ducks, it's not injury. Yeah. But it just, I think the biggest thing about this, the single biggest thing is you knew you would get Ohio State's best shot.
Yep.
It's just that when you think you are one of, if not the best teams in the country, you thought you could handle a little better than that. And the fact that they didn't is alarming.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want me to put a rosy spin on that, and there really isn't, but if I'm trying to go from a glass half empty perspective, I went back and watched that, as I always try to do, right? I'll go back and I'll try to watch a game, and the 50-50 balls that happened while that game in the first half, 'cause anything that happened in the second half, I don't care
Didn't
about.
Matter.
The game was over. Right? 34-0. I don't give a rip about, if you know.
Ducks won the second half, 21-7.
When it was 34-0, there were a handful of plays that if Oregon makes them and Ohio State doesn't, or Ohio State just doesn't make the play, then maybe that game can unfold a little bit differently. I don't think you were going to beat them either way, right? Ohio State was fully capable, and they kicked your ass, and they kicked your ass up front. I thought they did a great job of mixing up coverages. I thought the defense looked completely different. Their defensive line didn't have to blitz to overwhelm you, which was something that didn't happen in the first game. I thought the Oregon O-line played their worst game of the year since the Idaho-Boise State games. I thought Cornelius on the outside with Sawyer, I didn't expect that to be a big matchup, but he abused him a lot of that game. But going back, like remember the Tez Johnson play where it hits the Ohio State guy in the head. If that ball's just thrown a little bit better, that's a walk-in six. Ohio State had two plays where the DB reaches out on a third down in a big play, and he catches it by his fingertips where he knocks it down. Was it Smith that had the one-handed grab that he pulled in? There was all these little kind of tiny plays that when you looked at it on third down, Ohio State was getting off the field and Oregon couldn't make a play defensively where they just couldn't wrap a guy up. There was like, so when I went back and watched it, yes, it was an absolute ass-kicking. There were marginal plays, those 50-50 plays, and not one of them went Oregon's way. And I think on a different day, it's usually not so one-sided on those 50-50 balls. And if that's different, then maybe that's a, you know, maybe that's a 24-10, 24-16 sort of half, and then maybe you settle down and maybe you've got something going, but it didn't. It just avalanched against you and everything went away.
Yeah, I feel like those balls, I mean, that's every game.
It's every game.
But they were so dominated up front on both sides that I don't think it would have changed the damn thing.
And that surprised me a little bit because the Oregon O-line had been rock solid, and Ohio State's front is good. And I know with Tumalau and Sawyer, those guys are viewed as NFL guys, but they're not like, that's not Bosa, right? That's not the Bosa brothers. That's not anyone that just all year has just been terrorizing
people.
That's
where I think the layoff comes in.
Yeah, maybe.
I really do. I mean, I think that
they whooped them
slower.
Up front.
You're just slower. Oh, they whooped them the whole game, but I think they got better as the game went on, but it took them a while.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, once they start eating and getting going downhill, like Sawyer and those guys, they were just in. They were in the backfield the whole game.
And the other one too is once you fall behind, and James goes out, the Oregon run game, which was non-existent, like you had to abandon it. You couldn't do it. And so when you take away the run game and you take away any play action and you can pin your ears back and come, that's just, that's a death sentence for an O-line. And then I thought Ohio State did a really, and Galloway talked about it. Ohio State did a great job of mixing up their coverage looks, and Dylan Gabriel was really confused. He did not know where to go with the football. And for a guy that has played that much ball, I was surprised by how well Ohio State gave him one look, morphed into something else, and still didn't have a lot to bring a lot of pressure, was able to play coverage. And because of the score, remember, we talked about it. The best way to get a team out of a two-high safety look is you run them out of it. And when you can't run the ball and you can play coverage and still mix up your looks in the front seven, Oregon was befuddled all first half and had no answer for it. None.
All right. We will talk more about this game. Texas gonna Texas. That was the game.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up as well.
And by the way, for anyone that's talking about the layoff, Arizona State, Boise State, they had that layoff and still managed to get their footing underneath them.
Yeah, they
and
rallied.
Play a good game.
Well, Georgia's rallying a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. And Oregon did not. So.
Well, that's because Oregon just got... Dude, that game, again, this is why I think they just got a bad draw. That game, I think the layoff does matter. It is a thing, but it wouldn't change a thing because of how Ohio State dominated Oregon up front on both sides of the ball. Like, it could, the score might have been different, but Ohio State was winning that game yes. the way they dominated you on the lines, period. Yeah. Layoff or no layoff. But the layoff, I mean, every single one of these teams has fallen behind by double digits. Yeah. I mean, I just, it's a very interesting, interesting factor here. All right, so we'll get more into Oregon losing. What is next? And in the pantheon of stinging losses, where might this rank? We'll ask our duck homer over there, Buckley, who is out there.
It's pretty bad. Although, maybe not the worst loss I've seen the Ducks take at the Rose Bowl.
Okay. All coming up, but first, here's Buck with Sports Center. All right. Well, Dusty's coming home, and no one's going to Atlanta. Or Dallas, for that matter.
No one from up here, I'm guessing. Unless you're like a Notre Dame or a Ohio State fan.
That's the crappy part of it is, you know, Texas now gets to go play in Dallas.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
The hell?
Yep. I mean, I just...
It's weak.
That stuff, it drives me a little bananas when you get to the end of the season like this and people start pointing to whether it's layoffs or draw or whatever. I just... And that's one of my favorite parts about Lanning. He didn't use it before the tournament. He's not using it after.
And you won't ever hear him use it.
You won't ever hear him. It just drives me crazy when, especially when you get your ass thoroughly kicked. It just, it makes you, quite frankly, it's the Shane Gillis thing. It makes you look like a little bit of a bitch is what it does. You know, like, no one respects it. It makes you feel better. It's like talking crap about your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. Like, it doesn't do anyone good other than it makes you feel a little better, but everyone else looks at you and makes fun of you. Like, this is the sort of stuff that the SEC does. This is the sort of the Alabama-Georgia excuses. Like, you know, and that we all look at and we all point at, and yet you're doing them. Don't fall into that trap. Take your L. Take your ass kicking, take your talking to, and go sit down with everyone else. Because at the end of the day, this was arguably the second best season in Oregon history. And yet I hear people up here talking about what a disappointment and, oh, the season's a failure. My God, it's the third year of Dan Lanning's run. Go find me a coach outside of Bob Stoops or Nick Saban that won a national championship in their first 3 years.
People have been pointing out online the shortest amount of time any head coach has taken to win a national championship is 6 years.
Thank you.
Dan Lanning's halfway there.
You know,
so,
Jim Harbaugh damn near got fired and had to take a pay cut before eventually he got his.
Took him 13 years in the college game.
And each year that Lanning's been here, you've gotten better. Your recruiting classes keep getting better. You've killed it in the transfer portal. You went from that first year to being a really good team, but coming up short of a shot at the title game. And then last year, the one team that you couldn't get over the hump in a close one is Washington. This year, you go into the Big Ten, you beat three playoff teams. Three in the regular season. Penn State, Boise State, and Ohio State. You run the Big Ten. Go undefeated. Number one team. Like, you had a great year. It just so happens that you got a bad draw and you lost to Ohio State. But, and by the way, you put together a top four recruiting class in the country. I just, how anyone looks at this, other than your future is very bright. I get being disappointed. But saying somehow that this season was a waste or a loss or a failure...
That's too much.
But by that account, every year, everyone's season is a failure other than one team. And winning a national championship is really effing hard. And it just, it drives me a little batty some of the, I don't know, some of the narrative that's out there from a lot of the fan base. And I'm not even a fan. I don't root for the program. I just try to take an objective viewpoint of it. But my gosh, man, some perspective needs to be had here a little bit.
Fan's gonna fan.
I guess.
No, it's the truth.
Yeah, it's
fans will fan.
Fans will fan.
Yes, fans, fans, will fan. Hey, Buckley, you little bitch.
Yeah, what's up?
What? How's that feel? In the pantheon of stinging losses, where does it rank?
It's really bad.
Was it?
I mean,
because I heard some people talking about how the fact that it was a blowout and was over from like the first minute, that actually takes a little bit of the sting out.
I mean, it gave you the 3 hours to let it settle in, I guess. But I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I told both of you before I left, I thought either team could win this game. So I wasn't necessarily surprised in a loss. I was surprised it was a loss that looked like that, because that was tough to take. Naked eye, for me, the O-line was a huge problem right from the outset, and that was shocking. The fact that they couldn't get protection for Gabriel, they couldn't run the ball up the middle, they couldn't really run the ball to the outside. Like, it was ugly early, and looking at, like, 14-0 at the 8-minute mark, thinking, this thing might already be over. It was pretty sobering, well, except for the fact that beverages were flowing.
Yeah, how many beverages did you have?
Enough.
Well, no, how many did you have?
At the game or in total, I mean, on the day? I mean, I just kind of kept drinking.
Yeah,
so,
right. That's the right
that's
answer.
That's a pro move.
Yeah.
Started with...
Never ask a Navy man how many he's had. It's no one's damn business.
Started with a couple Moscow mules outside the stadium at a tailgate. And then...
mugs?
And then... No. I mean, just...
weak.
Well, I guess. It wasn't my tailgate. Someone's giving me free booze. You don't complain about how it comes.
Who brings copper mugs to a tailgate?
That's what I was wondering.
What if you threw it out and said... What is this crap? Where's the copper mug?
Yeah, I didn't do that.
And then what'd you have in the? Did you have a bunch of beers in there? $20
beers? The beers were like $20 each. You get the tall boys or whatever, and that. So
hot. Well, yeah. it's definitely fodder for those who think Oregon's, you know, to steal a line from Jason Sukanik, a paper tiger.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely fodder for those people.
Sure,
because. Oregon,
they're having their best day of the last year.
Well, they get into these games, and at some point, these big games, like, think about all the big games that Oregon has had with Dan Lanning. How many have they won? I mean, big games.
Pretty much just the Ohio State game, and then the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, they won the Big Ten game.
Yeah.
So, Ohio State, Penn State won.
Yeah.
Lost Washington.
Three times.
Washington.
Lost the Civil War.
Ohio State. I guess you could. That was kind of an upset. You know, the Oregon State game. I mean, it was a big game. It's a rivalry game. But
right.
Was it?
You would not have counted it as a big win, but it was a marquee loss.
It wasn't a marquee game.
Yeah.
So 2-4, is that what I counted?
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. You lost six games, though, in 3 years?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but no one cares about that. When
you lose,
four out of the six are the biggest games of the year. It's a problem. And so I'm just saying those people that will point to that, look, at some point, you got to turn that around. Like, that is the knock on you.
But I do feel like the knock has changed each year. First it wasn't you can't beat your rivals. Then it was you can't, and then they beat their rivals. And then it was you can't win a big game, and then they won a big game. And it's like, oh, well, you can't win a big game when it really matters.
Yeah.
I mean, the goalposts kind of keep moving on that, and the bottom line is...
And I guess that's my thing where I come from is... With the exception of like a Nick Saban, like everyone kind of goes through this, right? Ryan Day is going through this right now. And if Ohio State finishes it off, then he doesn't have to go through it anymore, right? James Franklin has this going on, and his is in spades, by the way. His isn't 3 years. Franklin's is like 8 or 9 years of this. Dabo had this before he broke through. Notre Dame certainly has had this for the last 30 years. Like, everyone goes through this until you do it. And when you look through the history of college football, I mean, we can go back and look at people that win national championships. It's not a big group of people. It tends to be pretty small, and it tends to be the same school. So I guess that's just my point is, everyone goes through this unless you truly are the freak of freaks. And no offense to Dan Lanning, no offense to the Oregon program, you're not freaks. We even talked about that. And some people got mad at me. I said, this is a very good Oregon team. It's not an elite team. I didn't think there was an elite team in this tournament. Now, Ohio State may have just gave me the FU, and I'll maybe take Ohio State out. Maybe there they are, the one elite team, and they're going to cruise through this. That's the only team that I've watched in this playoff that I've looked at and was like, whoa. That team is really good. Everyone else, I've been like, yeah, those are good teams. They deserve to be here, but they're not elite. And so if that's your standard is to be the elite of the elite, no, you're not there yet. And maybe you get there, maybe you don't. But it's really, I guess that's my, it's just really, really hard to do, especially when you're talking about 3 years, as Buck said. Well, 6 years, what is the breakthrough?
The 6 years is the shortest any coach has taken to win his first national championship in college.
After today, there's going to be four teams left, and Oregon will have beaten two of them.
Yes. Yeah.
Is there anybody else that's beaten two of them?
Well, was there any team that had beaten three that we even got into the dance?
I don't think so.
So to say that this season is a failure, disappointment the way it ended, sure. Oh, and by the way, you had the second year in a row, we had a Heisman finalist. So, I mean, come on.
Who are you? Are these like the, are you on like message boards or something?
Oh no. I think this is, by the way, when you look at whether it's Twitter, whether you look at Instagram, I was listening to the morning and the afternoon shows, some of the hosts, when you hear like the feedback that's coming on the text program, I just think there's this sense of the entire thing is a waste and throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I just can't abide.
No, I can't get there at all. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're at Oregon. You just keep reloading, right? Transfer portal. You got all that money.
Yep.
Phil Knight's behind you.
I think RJ makes a good point on the text line. He says Oregon's done everything but win it all to this point, and that's the last thing that's left for them to do. So until it happens, it's going to be championship or bust, and people are calling this bust.
We talked about that at the start of the year.
Well,
the expectations are higher.
And if you want me, because I've tried to put a very rosy spin on this. If you want me to put a negative spin on this,
you can do that too.
I can put that on there because next year, I think next year is a look the hell out sort of year. you're going to lose probably four of your five offensive linemen. You're going to lose your second Heisman Trophy finalist quarterback in a row. You're going to lose every one of your receivers. You're going to lose your All-American tight end. Your entire secondary is basically gone. Your entire defensive line is gone. And yes, you've been recruiting very well, and there's depth. And, you know, Sadiq looks like he can step up and be this great tight end. But outside of the one game where he had the two catches, he hasn't really done much of anything. We haven't seen any of the other receivers do anything. Like, and we have no idea what Dante Moore, if you go out and get another quarterback, we have no idea what that's bringing to the table. So this idea that like that next year is a given that you're going to be back, if you want a negative spin on it, it is that. And by the way, you have hit home runs in the transfer portal. When you look at the vast majority of your truly elite players over the last 2 years, receiver, D-line, quarterback, running backs, they've all, for the most part, been transfer portal kids. And we do know that from Florida State and teams like that, it's really hard to do that year after year after year in the transfer portal. You got to grow and from within. You've got to get the depth that comes. And so these recruiting classes you've been putting together, which have been elite, it's time for some of those kids to let them drop and become the basis of this team, because the base of your team the last couple of years has been the transfer portal. And so I would just say to anyone, if you want the kind of negative view on it, it's next year is a big old question mark. I don't think last year was a question mark. I don't think this year was a question mark coming in. Next year is more of a question mark than any year you've had in the Dan Lanning era, minus the first one, because we had no idea what he was bringing to the table.
All right. The text line is calling you out on your 6 year thing there, Buckley, saying that.
What'd they say?
Well, Bob Stoops won in his second year at Oklahoma. And that is true. He did.
Did he did not have a head coach job anywhere else first?
No, he only coached at Oklahoma. Did you know that about Bob Stoops?
I can't say. I knew that he had won in his first 2 years, but I assume when Buck said that he had coached somewhere else.
That dude coached 22 seasons all at Oklahoma.
And why was that the stat circulating all over Twitter yesterday?
Well, stupid Twitter.
Yeah, fake news and all that.
All right, there's a couple things in the game I want to get to, and then we'll move on to Texas. Gonna Texas, that great game against Arizona State, coming up on The Fan. All right. We're talking about the Rose Bowl. Did you guys see that? Oregon lost.
I did.
They lost. 41-21? Was that the final?
I believe that is correct. 34-0 at the half. Or excuse me, 34-8.
Eight.
Yeah, they scored that one, and then they came out and scored again, and you were like, is there something? And then Ohio State was like, yeah, there's not. Just got to 41, and thanks for coming.
A couple things from the game. I thought that the early punts were a little out of character for Dan Lanning.
Well, the one was
I thought the like early punts were just terrible. The punts themselves.
Well, the punts themselves didn't help at all.
The punter was bad. But the first two, so we had two. Mm-hmm. The first one was way down in their own territory.
Yeah.
But you only needed a yard. And some guys are going for that these days. I think James Franklin did that recently.
Like the 32 or something.
Well, guys do it. Yeah. And when you only need a yard, and Lanning's pretty aggressive, I thought maybe there they would go for it, particularly how the defense got slayed in the first series.
Yeah.
And then the second one might have been even more I don't know, just it surprised me. I think that was fourth and four, but that they were in
fourth and six from the OSU 49.
Yeah, okay, so right at midfield.
Right at midfield.
That's another one I thought maybe they'd go for, but perhaps he was just saying, hey, our O-line's getting beat up and we need to.
And I think there was the idea maybe they thought that. I don't think they thought their defense was going to get run through like that and that eventually they would settle down, and they never did.
Well, that early, if you could pin them at their own 15 or 10, then maybe you can play the game that way.
The second one surprised me more than the first one. Like, look, I get that the defense got run through with three plays, but both of those were kind of schemes. The one to the tight end, Scott, was just a, kind of a fun little, you know, scheme that they cooked up, and then you lost track of Jeremiah Smith somehow when they ran the fake fly sweep motion. So, yeah, I mean, you gave up the touchdown in three plays, but again, I think if you're on the Oregon sidelines, you're like, all right, kudos to them, came out with the script, caught us looking a little bit, we're going to settle down. Well, it turns out that wasn't the case. So,
hey, will you shut up?
But I am with you that the down 14-0 at midfield, fourth and six, that's the one where I thought, all right, maybe he's going to get a little aggressive here and say, we've got to find a way to stem the tide. And I think they only gave up a field goal on that, but, you know.
And then the third one, they went for it.
Yeah.
Then at that point, there's like, we got to go for it.
Yes, and that when they came out, it was like, once you're down by that, everything was four down territory. It didn't matter what.
And the Evan Stewart sitch?
Yeah.
What? That was a little weird.
Yeah.
I guess they said he was dealing with something going into the game. They thought he could go, and then somehow in pregame, they
dinged
just...
during pregame?
Yeah.
What does that mean? He was dinged in warmups.
So he obviously had an injury going into the game that they weren't talking about because they never talk about it. So then you go into warm-up, and this happens all the time with guys, is when a guy's questionable, you tape him up, you know, maybe you give him a little something for the pain, and then you go out during pregame and you're like, hey, we're going to need you to go a little harder than you normally do in pregame, and let's test this thing out. And then based on that, you make your decision. So something, whether either he tweaked it during pregame or it was just like, hey, this isn't good enough. And it sounds like Stewart wanted to go, and Oregon obviously looked at him and said, hey, like, you're not going to be effective, or there's a chance you injure this more. And so they sat him down. So no Evan Stewart. Tez Johnson gets dinged up early and wasn't quite the same player. And then Jordan James goes out. You were up against it anyways, and I'm not saying those guys make any sort of difference, but when you lose a guy that in the first game was a difference maker for you, we know what Tez means to the offense, and then you lose your best back, and not like you could run the ball anyways. You ran the ball for like 2 yards all game. I'll have to actually look it up what happened without the sacks, but it was just another log on the fire.
I think it was negative yards.
It was another log on the fire of this wasn't going to be your day.
Yeah, it looked like at one point there, James, Stewart, and did you say that? Tez was out. Tez was hurt.
Yeah. Negative 23 yards rushing with the sacks.
Yeah.
Dude, they got 8 sacks and held the Ducks to negative 23 yards rushing.
Yeah.
That is pure dominance.
Yes. So if you take out the Gabriel stuff, they ran for 14, 18, 21. Yeah, they ran for 21 yards.
Wow. And they got like half of that on one play. There was one Jordan James.
Yeah, Jordan
play
James
that he went
ran
around
for 11
end.
Yards.
Yeah.
But when you fall down 17-0, like, you know.
Changes what you're.
Changes
your
what
approach,
you can do. And you become unbalanced. And again, that adds to the defensive line's ability to just pin their ears back and go. And we knew going into this game that Ohio State. After the Oregon game, Ohio State, we talked about it. They made an entire defensive shift in philosophy. They simplified things, and they started running different schemes, and you saw that. And their thing was, you're not going to beat us over the top. And then you take out Evan Stewart, and that's another one. But they just did such a better job in the secondary, and you can tell that Ohio State had a bee in their bonnet. The secondary got embarrassed in the first one, and Jeremiah Smith came out after the pregame stuff, and he had made a bold proclamation that he was going to be the best player on the field, that no one could guard him, and everyone was like, oh, he's talking crap. Yeah, he was, and then he went and backed it up. And also give credit to Will Howard, who had been much maligned, even by his own team at times, and Will Howard came out and played a hell of a ball game.
Jeremiah Smith is not eligible for the draft until 2027.
And if he came out, he would be the first non-quarterback drafted this year as a true freshman.
But you think about, like, they're going to get some good transfer quarterbacks.
You
just having him there.
Yes.
I'd go there.
Yes.
Hell, I will go there.
Well,
they may call me.
You look at the Ohio State receivers.
Throw it up. He'll catch it.
That they have put out. And if you want to go all the way back to Chris Carter, but I mean, just Chris Carter, Ted Ginn, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Terry McLaurin. I mean, it's just, it's stupid.
This guy might be the best of all of them.
And so many people
Carter's hard to.
Many people in this program have said that, yes, it's a long way to go, but this will be the best receiver to come out of Ohio State. And that's not like saying you're the best receiver to come out of Tallahassee JUCO. That is the premier receiver program in college football. And people are saying that this is different.
He's funny to me because he's such a specimen.
Yeah.
But then he takes off his helmet and he looks like he's 12.
I know.
And he's like, hee hee.
What I'm scared of is that last year.
That's what he sounded like.
Where's he from? Do we know? Where's that kid from?
Up your ass.
We'll find out.
Right? Is that a thing? All right, let's take a break. Texas going to Texas. Let's talk about that game next on The Fam.